Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is 6:23. We are the morning shift. Good morning. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. And every Friday, you can join us for the tailgate at home. It's presented by Publix. Bo will fire up the grill, share his favorite game day recipes, and you can share your best work as well on the grill by tweeting us at The Morning Shift. It's the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom, feel the hype this year with Publix. Every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This week, it sounds like we're getting steak tacos. Or has your stomach changed its mind, Bo?
No, it definitely hasn't. I do like a flank steak. Mm-hmm. And I marinate it for 24 hours in some vinegar and a few other things. And, man, you just sear it, basically. Cook it medium rare, slice and dice it. And you can get steak tacos all week with a piece of flank steak that you get from, like, Publix. Are normally pretty good chunks.
Mm-hmm.
They're phenomenal too. I mean, it's so good. Is anything better than a steak taco? Other than a straight steak, like straight ribeye?
No, I don't think so.
It's kind of the perfect mixture of all worlds.
Yeah,
I love it.
All right.
Little breakfast sauce too on there. Seriously,
Allie's going French fries.
Yeah. I forget. Well, I was going to argue that like a buffalo tofu taco is like so good, but
I don't even know what that means.
There's no way I could get anyone to buy into that.
What is that even comprised?
So it's fried tofu like with buffalo sauce all over it, just in a taco. It's really good with a little bit of celery in there.
I mean, it sounds great if you replace tofu with steak.
You're not selling me.
I know. There's no way steak could ever compare to tofu. I completely understand. I get it.
Right.
We did get the Falcons injury report yesterday. Darnell Mooney was limited along with Felipe Franks. Jake Matthews, Leonard Floyd, Billy Bowman, Clark Phillips, and Jalen Walker did not participate. Any of these worrying you guys?
Well, no, because that's obviously a projection. Yeah, Jake Matthews worries me. Mike, I want you to explain this. I'm going to set you up. Allie asked me if it worries me. An offensive lineman in his, 12th year, who's played as many games consecutively as he has, a high ankle sprain absolutely terrifies me. Mainly because of how much stress is put on the lower body of an offensive lineman, especially a tackle,
right,
with getting out of your set, not only being in your set like that, but out of it and moving with rushers and just putting stress on you.
Yeah, well, let me separate the two questions, right? Because I think Allie said, does it worry you? I think the two different things, does it worry me if Jake Matthews doesn't play as opposed to does it worry me that he was on the injury report and did not practice?
Well, I think what worries me more is just the injury that he has.
Correct. I don't think, but like I said, let's go back to the injury report. Mm-hmm. No. Like nobody on the injury report worries me right now because it's such a short week. Right?
Okay.
We're still, yesterday was 48 hours after Monday Night Football. It's not going to be a problem for me so far. Now, the thought of Jake Matthews not playing, yeah. Yeah, we can definitely be worried about that.
Well, and this is something that Raheem Morris did talk about. He talked about Jake Matthews' status for Sunday night's game.
It'd be hard for me to bet against the Matthews. He's just that type of guy. He's going to do everything that he can do to play. I know him that well. He won't talk much about it. That's not his mentality. That's not his deal. But as we get later into the end of the week, I'm sure we'll have a better feel for what that is and how it looks. Obviously, it's still fresh. Obviously, you played a Monday night game. Obviously, you got a short week, all the things working against him. But when you talk about a Matthews, particularly Jake, it'd be hard for me to count him out.
And, of course, that was from Dukes and Bell yesterday. They were up at Flower Branch. Got to talk with Raheem Morris about Jake Matthews. Now, let me re-ask, are you worried about Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the thought of him not playing, yes, it's worrisome. I'm so curious to see what happens with that entire rotation. We kind of covered this yesterday. Storm Norton's still in that kind of gray area coming off injury reserve, which he did have a procedure, I believe, right there in preseason. Michael Jarrell is the one that came in at left tackle during the game. I was curious. I mean, if it was a longer stint of Jake Matthews, like if we were going to talk about Jake Matthews on short-term IR, then I would be curious to see if you moved Elijah Wilkinson to left tackle and had Michael Jarrell at right, because Elijah has played snaps. He started a preseason game at left tackle, and Michael Jarrell has started at right tackle for the Seahawks in past games. So, yeah, I mean, it's worrisome. Jake Matthews is an above-average player, to say the least, and has always kind of been that guy. You also have the communication issues where I just talked about. Remember, Bo, we went into pregame, and I said Matthew Bergeron's having a better year than Chris Lindstrom. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Chris Lindstrom has had to deal with a new right tackle. Well, if Matthew Bergeron suddenly is doing the same thing, that becomes worrisome because of the scheme, because of the wide zone, because of everything that we're asked to do. Now, I do think, and you and I talked about this yesterday, I think Zach Robinson did a good job of taking care of Michael Jarrell in the second half, but you don't ever want to go into a game without having your 10, 11, 12-year left tackle and a captain of your offense.
Oh, absolutely. Look, they did take care of him. And there was times where, guess who took care of him? Michael Penix, by understanding and the pocket presence to get the ball out. That throw to Bijan Robinson in the final drive where they gained like down the sideline, the right sideline, where they got like 20-something yards.
Yep.
That was Joey Bosa was about to have a sack lunch there and Michael Penix and just eat him up, because he actually did hit him. He beat Jarrell on an inside move, and that Jarrell was singled up on that play. Look, I tend to say, well, it was Joey freaking Bosa.
Yeah, he's having a good year.
And he's one of the better pass rushers we've seen in the last 15 years. So it's not, it's not just your average Joe, right? I mean, it's one of the
no pun intended.
I didn't even think about that. That's pretty good. Should have said Joey. It's one of the best guys in the league at what he does. But then again, that can't be happening. Because that's when you force, when you get hit like that, you start forcing balls in there like you get with Drake late in the drive, where we got to say he's got to take care of the ball better. So you just want Jake out there, right?
I'm sorry. Do we know which ankle it is?
Pretty sure it's his left.
It's the
I'm
left?
Pretty sure it's his left, but...
I was going to say, I've been trying to remember.
I thought he was holding his left.
Dylan's
I also think
yes.
it's the left, yeah, from what I can remember.
I remember seeing him hold it. I remember seeing the replay of him go down and hold it, and then I remember seeing him limp off. The limping is a lot less clear than the replay, but I could be wrong. I just think it. I think it was that. But remember, this is a guy that played in 2000. Again, it's a while ago. 2016, he had a strain in a ligament in his knee, and they're like, "Yeah, you." They said Jake won't play for 2 to 3 weeks, and Jake played the next week.
Yeah.
And it was a West Coast trip too.
Well, this is one of the things about us all being involved in the radio, where I'm like, I don't remember seeing the actual injury cut. I remember him. I saw him walking off, but you have to kind of, search through the video and try to figure out which ankle it is. And I will say the left one is, that's tougher for a left tackle.
It is the left. I just confirmed it.
There you go. So that's tougher for a left tackle because of the redirection and pass set, or you can kick back. But if you do get an inside move, just like the one you were talking about, Joey Bosa pulled on Michael Jarrell, all of a sudden you're trying to close down the B gap. That's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Absolutely.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And I know you guys, while I was out in the bullpen this morning, we're kind of looking over some film. And we'll just broadly get into this right now, dive back into it at 7. But when it comes to our defense versus the 49ers offense, what were you seeing that maybe has a little bit like, we should keep an eye on that?
Well, I think we should start from the top because we're trying to figure out who's playing quarterback. And it sounds to me like a lot of people expect Brock Purdy to be back. But when you look at the injury report and Kyle Shanahan's words, Mac Jones is kind of ahead of Brock Purdy. They're both injured. Mac Jones seems closer to 100% than Brock Purdy does, and he's dealing with that, type of turf toe injury. But I saw, just watching a little bit of last week, I saw Mac Jones look uncomfortable at times against pressure. And I saw really, this is crazy to say about a Kyle Shanahan offense. I saw them really struggle to run the football at a high clip. And they still have great offensive linemen, and they still have a healthy Christian McCaffrey. But, man, it seems like for whatever reason, and I know that we'll talk about it and Bo wants to get more in-depth in it throughout the show, schematically it's just not what you've grown accustomed to in a Kyle Shanahan offense in their running game. And so I think they're trying different things schematically to see what kind of works. I'll be curious to see how they come out and try to go against us, but it's just they've struggled running the football.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, well, they were playing one of the better run defenses in the league in Tampa Bay, but they're 30th this year. They're only averaging 82 yards on the ground this year.
It's rough.
I don't know if that's the problem, though, is they're doing that, but then you turn around and look at it, they're leading the league in passing. How much of that is not having Purdy for so many games? Because I think Brock Purdy, we don't give enough credit for how much they want to use him on the run.
Yeah.
They let him do a little bit, but he rolls a lot. I saw Mac do kind of a half roll. But, I mean, this offense, I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again, and I know we got to go to break. They're all a version of what Mike Shanahan ran in Denver and in Washington, where all these guys were on the staff. McVay, Shanahan, Raheem, I think O'Connell who's up there in Minnesota. They've John Snowed the offense. Every one of them has. They've took it in their own way, and they've John Snowed it.
Well, we're going to get back into this on a deeper level because Mike and Bo, and I don't, so I'm confused, but not my show, sorry. But we'll get back into this at 7 a.m. this morning. Coming up, we might have a job opening in Florida soon. That hot seat is on fire right now. And we've got my Mac drop. It is Throwback Thursday trivia. We haven't had a round that's counted since September 18th.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been almost a month.
I know. So right now it's 9-8. Mike, you are leading, obviously, anybody's game. That is next on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.